This message, entitled The Fulfilling of the Law, from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
That's very fitting as we turn this morning to Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn there with me. Romans chapter 13. This can be found on page 1206 of the Pew Bible, if that's the Bible you are using, page 1206. Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10 this morning, but we will take the opportunity to begin reading in verse 7. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." If you would bow with me in one more word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you, by your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is the head and the King of his church, have appointed the preaching of your word to be the very means by which you save our souls, and to be the very means by which we grow in faith and knowledge and understanding. And so, Lord, though the world might account the preaching of the word to be a very foolish thing, we do regard it as your wisdom and your power and a display of your Holy Spirit. And so this morning, as we come to hear the preaching of the word, and every single one of us is a hearer this morning, we do ask that we would have a demonstration of power and of your Spirit, that, Lord, you will open our eyes to see these truths, that you will cultivate in our hearts the very love of which you speak of in this passage. And, Lord, give us the wisdom to discern the mind of the Spirit in these words. And may we all have every reason to glory and to worship you this morning. Lord, we pray that you would make us ready to hear this word, to not sit in judgment upon it, but to sit under its judgment, to see ourselves in light of it, and to so fashion our desires and our longings that we would be those who desire to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there's been an ongoing argument, you might call it a debate, in our own nation for well over the last decade. And it's a debate and an argument that has reached through all levels of our government and even to the highest courts of our land. And perhaps you're somewhat familiar with that argument, with that debate. It really centers upon the placement of the Ten Commandments in public areas. There are any number of people left in our nation who have a great desire to see the Ten Commandments placed as a monument, really, on the lawn of state or courthouses. And there are other people in our nation who look at that and believe that that is infringing upon the separation between church and state, and that the Ten Commandments have no place on the lawn of public and state areas. Oh, I suppose if we were to sit down and begin discussing this with the various sides, that those who want the Ten Commandments displayed want them displayed for good intentions and good motives. It's probably because they cherish those 10 words, that law of God. And indeed, we can be very sympathetic with that, can't we? Because we are convinced, that is, this church is convinced that there is no system of morality. There is no ethical code that is as pure and good and holy and just and perfect as the law that comes to us from the very finger of the God whom we worship. The Ten Commandments are a perfect expression of the law of God, and we too cherish it. But whether or not they should be put on public display, they should be erected as monuments, I want to say this morning that my point is neither here nor there. Rather, it's to think about that and to think as Christians that there is a place that is far more important to have the Ten Commandments displayed than on a courthouse lawn. As Christians, we should want, or rather, let me actually put it in the form of a question this morning. As a Christian, do you want, are you interested in having the Ten Commandments displayed in your own life? Do you desire to have that law of God erected, so to speak, in your hearts? Because if I can put it this way this morning, that's where it really matters. Where it fundamentally matters, where all of us should be concerned, is whether or not, as Christians, our lives reflect the reality of the law of God. Not as a mere ornament, not as a mere decoration, but as a guiding rule that is to be lived out in every single one of our relationships. And if I can say it that way this morning, I want you to see as we come to these verses that that's really quite simply where the Apostle Paul is going. Paul is telling us as Christians, here is something very important for you, right? We've talked about how as Romans chapter 12 begins to tell us as Christians how we are to live, Paul now comes to these few verses that are full of instruction for us, saying, here's how you need to live your life. You need to live a life of love. And that love is defined by nothing less than the law of God. And we are to have our lives testify to this. We are to have our lives witness to this in the way in which we interact with our neighbors. And that is where Paul is going. He is telling us you have a duty to your neighbor. You are to love them, and you love them by keeping God's commands. I want to preach 5 things from these short verses this morning. And those 5 points are on the back of the bulletin in case you're interested in following along. But the 5 points are going to be this. First, we see in these verses that we have a debt. The Apostle Paul says, owe no one anything except to love one another. My second point this morning is going to be the duration of this debt. I'll show when we get there that when Paul says, owe no one anything, Paul is actually saying, continue to owe no one anything except to love each other. That the duration of this debt is a lifelong thing that we commit ourselves to. My third point this morning is going to be a discharge of this debt. How do we pay it? The Apostle Paul tells us we pay this debt by observing the commandments of God. My fourth point this morning is going to be the debtee. And that's not a made-up word. A debtee is one to whom we owe a debt. And Paul is very clear here that the debtee is our neighbor. And our final point this morning will be the degree of our love. Paul says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so those are the five things that I want us to see from these verses. First, the debt. Second, the duration of the debt. Third, the discharge of the debt. Fourth, the debtee. And finally, the degree. So first, in order this morning, I want to preach to you the debt. Look at what Paul is doing. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the verses immediately preceding this. We saw that in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul really tells us that as Christians, we need to be subject to our governing authorities. And Paul really states that, doesn't he, as an absolute principle. He says you need to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And you need to do it out of a reverence and a fear for God. And you need to do it for your own benefit. And Paul doesn't qualify that. I know that all kinds of little nagging questions begin to arise in our hearts and our minds. But Paul just states that rather absolutely in this portion of Scripture. And he says, you need to be in subjection. And then in verse 7, he comes to what we might call the concluding principle of what he was saying in verses 1 through 6. He says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are due. And that's a remarkable thing. We didn't get into it, but historians rightly recognize that the tax system in Rome was ludicrous. That by and large, it was probably a 25% tax rate. And Paul's looking at these Christians in Rome. He's writing to them and he's saying, yeah, those taxes, you need to pay them. You owe them to those to whom taxes are owed. And Paul says, pay revenue to whom revenue is owed. And then he moves from the material to the immaterial. Respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. And then Paul begins to transition. And in verse 8, he says this, owe no one anything except to love each other. And the way that Paul words that, I hope you can see it this morning, owe no one anything except love, Paul is saying, as Christians, here is the debt that you owe. It is a debt of love. Now, very simply this morning, what is a debt? Well, I imagine that we are all quite familiar with what debt is. Our society, our culture, if you begin to look at the statistics, it is absolutely overwhelming how much debt there is in our society. I don't know if the statistics will serve any purpose, but just to begin to wrap our minds around it, statistics show that the average debt of a household is $129,000. That the average credit card debt in our society, in the state of Kansas, is $5,600. And that the average senior graduates college $30,000 in debt from student loans alone. We are a society and a culture that understands the language of debt. What is a debt? A debt, very simply, is something that you are obligated to pay. And you are obligated to such an extent that you don't get the choice not to pay. Well, I suppose you could, but it would be illegal. You would get in legal trouble. It is something that you have to pay. You are bound to pay it back. I remember a number of years ago, shortly before Rachel and I got married, we were organizing our finances, And much to my astonishment, I got a letter from a creditor who informed me that I was defaulting on a student loan. And interestingly enough, it was a student loan that apparently at some point I had taken out 5 years previous and I'd completely forgotten about it. And it had begun to rack up all kinds of interest, and they had turned me into the credit reporting agency, and they said, you're deficient on this, you haven't paid on this. And I thought, well, when I don't have the money, begging is probably my best option. And so I called the loan company. I said, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. There was a misjudgment on my part. I've totally forgotten to pay this, but I have the money. Can I pay it in full? Can we do something about all the interest that has occurred? And quite rightly and quite justly, there was no forgiveness. And the debt company, in a very unforgiving manner, said, no, it simply doesn't matter. You took a loan out. It has to be paid. You are indebted. You are obligated. You are bound to pay it back, whether you know of it or not. And I use that illustration this morning because that is really the actual force of what Paul is saying. Owe no one anything except to love each other. And when he says that, he is saying you are in debt, you are obligated, you are bound to love one another. If I can put it this way this morning, I owe all of you love. Whether I want to love you or not, Scripture bids, God commands that this isn't a choice for me, that I am bound as a Christian to love every single one of you, that I am obligated to do that, and I have no right to withhold love from you. I am indebted to show it to you, and I am obligated to pay my dues. And of course, that works two ways. Vice versa. What Paul is saying is that you as well have a debt of love to me. That we are mutually obligated, we are mutually bound to show one another love. And just think about that for a moment this morning. Look to the person on your right. Look to the person on your left. Look to the person in front of you. If you have somebody behind you, look at the people behind you. Paul is saying, don't you understand? Here's what you owe. You owe everyone a debt of love. You are obligated to pay it. The force with which this comes is that Paul is not only commanding that we love each other, but he is saying we are obligated to do that. So that's the debt. Owe each other love. But secondly, this morning, I want to preach the duration of that debt, or what you might call the lifespan of that debt. How long does Paul expect me to be obligated to paying this debt of love? Well, when you look at verse 8, let's read that. Owe no one anything except to love each other. And when Paul says that, it might sound at the first moment that Paul is saying, as a Christian, you're never allowed to go in debt. Don't owe anybody money. Don't owe them repayment. Only owe them love. Is that what Paul is saying? Well, no, he's not. And we know that because that wouldn't be 100% consistent with the rest of Scripture. For instance, in Exodus chapter 22, verse 25, God, in giving his laws to the nation of Israel, says, if you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a money lender to him. God is actually giving his people certain laws and code of ethics for how it is that they should loan money to his people who are in need. Or in Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, Jesus says, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. When Paul says this in verse 8, he is not restricting us and saying, as a Christian, you are never to have any debt. That's not his point. Now, it might be well taken for us this morning to just think by way of application that Paul, I do think, is condemning the indifference with which most of us go into debt. We do it so easily. We do it without a thought. Let's just charge it. Let's put it on a credit. Let's just do it that way. And as Christians, we need to think seriously about that because this is a serious thing. But if that's not exactly what Paul is saying, what is he saying? What does he mean when he says, owe no one anything except to love each other? Well, if we put it in the context, I think it becomes a little clearer. In verse 7, Paul says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes, to whom taxes are owed. Right? When Paul says that, he's saying, you owe taxes, pay off your taxes. Make good on that debt that you owe to the one who has a right to collect taxes from you. When Paul says revenue, to whom revenue is owed, Paul is saying don't continue to owe people that which is theirs. Give the revenue that you owe. Give the respect that you owe to those who deserve respect and give the honor to whom honor is owed. And Paul is simply saying in that verse, don't have any outstanding debts. Pay your taxes and pay them in full. Pay your revenue. Pay it in full. And then he comes here in verse 8. And he says, owe no one anything except to love each other. And I think the import of what Paul is saying is he's saying, as he's been thinking about these things that we owe to other people, he is saying, if I can phrase it this way, don't have any outstanding debts except the debt of love. Or if I can paraphrase it this morning, continue to owe no one anything but love. Or let no debt remain outstanding except the debt to love each other. What is Paul's point in saying that? Paul is saying, pay off all things. Pay off everything that you owe. But here is something you can never pay off. Here is a debt that you can never be fully disposed of. You can never fully pay it off. The duration of this debt, the lifespan of it, Paul is saying, is one of continual obligation. It is never ending. You see, brothers and sisters, simply what Paul is saying is that I'm not obligated to love you for 1 year, and when that year has passed, I can say, I've done it all. I've paid my dues. Paul is not saying, hey, just owe everybody love, but you only owe it for 5 years, and after 5 years, you've paid the debt off, and you're no longer obligated to give anybody love. Paul isn't saying, hey, take this debt out, have this debt for 50 years, and after 50 years, you can wipe your hands clean and say, I've paid it back, I'm indebted to no one. Paul is saying, continue to owe everyone this debt of love. That there is never a time, never, never a time where you can say, I've paid it off and I'm no longer in debt. I have loved too much, or I have overpaid on this thing called love. Paul tells us, here's your debt. And the duration is continual, it is ongoing, it is ever present in our lives. Continue to owe no one anything except to love each other. So there's the debt. We are indebted to show love to one another. We are obligated to do that. There's the duration. We are to continue to do it. And my third point this morning is the discharge of the debt. So if that's the debt, the question becomes, how do I pay this debt? We can nod our heads and say, okay, Paul, I follow you so far. So you're telling me I'm obligated to love people. Okay, but what's the next step? How do I make good on that debt? How do I discharge that obligation? Well, look with me at verses 9 and 10. Let's back up to verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see what Paul is saying? You discharge this debt. You fulfill your obligation. How? By obeying the law of God. I don't want you to be confused this morning, because as we've gone through the book of Romans, you might remember that in the first 11 chapters, the Apostle Paul frequently says some negative things about the law of God, that the law of God condemns us, that we are saved, but we are not saved by the law, that the law is powerless to work salvation in our lives, that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. And so is Paul being inconsistent now, after he said all of that, to say, but here's your Christian duty, here's what you need to do, you need to seek to fulfill the law by loving your neighbor as yourself? Is there an inconsistency? And I want to be very clear this morning that there's not. Obviously, it's the word of God. We don't believe there are inconsistencies. And here I think we need to be transformed in our minds, and we need to know how to think about this. And the more that we do, the more sense the Bible's going to make to us. That when it comes to our salvation, we are not saved by showing love. If I can say that this morning, I hope you understand what I mean by that. You are not saved by loving your neighbor. Scripture, nowhere, anywhere, at all, tells us you are saved by love. Scripture everywhere tells us we are saved through faith alone, in Christ alone. So that when it comes to our salvation, the law does not have the power, the commandments of God and the observance of them, even if we could keep all of them, has no power to save our souls. But Paul here isn't talking about salvation. Paul here isn't telling us, well, if you just love your neighbor, then you're going to get good with God. Rather, as we've been seeing, Paul is telling us what our Christian duty is, what our duty is once we have been saved. And once we have been saved, once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are in Him, that's the language of Paul in Romans 6, once we believe in Him, we have an obligation to keep the law of God. Paul said that in Romans chapter 8, verse 4. He says that the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in us who walk according to the Spirit. So when Paul tells us, I don't want you to be confused, Paul is not telling us how to be saved, but he is telling us, here is your Christian duty. And the discharge of your debt is fulfilled by keeping the commandments of God. Isn't that what Jesus taught in John 13? If you love me, he said. Well, what did he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And the Apostle John, in 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, says, and this is love, that we walk according to the commandments. And that's what Paul is telling us here. Here is the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of love. And how do you love your neighbor? You love your neighbor by keeping the commandments of God. And where does Paul point us? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. Paul is pointing us to that chapter we read earlier, Exodus chapter 20. He is pointing us to the Ten Commandments. And he is saying, here is God's unchanging, unflexible rule of love. It was true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament. Here is a definition of love. It is the Ten Commandments. And so, brothers and sisters, when we think about loving our neighbor, Scripture doesn't leave that as some abstract thing. Scripture doesn't leave us trying to jump through hoops, trying to understand, well, how do I show love to my neighbor? We show love to our neighbor in this way. You shall not commit adultery. And of course, that means as well the adultery of the heart. The lust that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5. To lust after, to have an adulterous relationship is to not love your neighbor. It is to hate them. You love your neighbor by not murdering your neighbor. And of course, again, the extent of this is not just the physical act, but as Jesus taught, those who hate their brother in their heart, who harbor bitterness and unrighteous anger, they are guilty of murdering their brother. And we show love by not harboring bitterness, by not harboring anger, by not hating our brothers and our sisters. And Paul says, you shall not steal, because to take something that is not yours is to hate your neighbor. And Paul uses that catch-all expression there in verse 9, and any other commandment. All the commandments of God are summed up in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If I can just speak for a moment to the children in our congregation, what does that mean for you? Well, you know that one of the commandments that we read, honor your father and your mother. And so it goes, it follows that if you are not honoring your mom and your dad, you're not loving them, you're actually hating them. And Paul says, no, you need to love even your mom and your dad. You see, that's how Paul tells us we discharge this debt. We do it by obeying the law of God. And that at the end of the day, love does no wrong to a neighbor. There's how we discharge the debt. We discharge it by being obedient to the word of God. Well, in the fourth place this morning, I want you to see who the debtee is. A debtee is simply an accountant word for the one to whom a debt is owed. And so who is it that I must show this love to? Well, in verse 8, again, look at how Paul says this. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. But he goes on to clarify who the each other and who the another is, doesn't he? He says in verse 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So let's ask the question this morning, who is my neighbor? Who is the neighbor that Paul is speaking of here? Well, if you remember in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus himself was asked that same question, wasn't he? Jesus was talking to a self-righteous lawyer. And he had just told this lawyer that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this lawyer, we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke tells us he sought to justify himself. He wanted to find an excuse. He wanted to challenge Jesus. And what does he ask? He asks the question, well, Jesus, who's my neighbor? And do you remember how Jesus answers? He answers in only the way that Jesus did, by speaking a parable. And it was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Perhaps you remember that parable this morning. Jesus told that story about a man who was traveling and he was overcome by robbers. And they stripped him and they beat him and they left him on the side of the road. And first there comes a priest and he's walking down the road and he sees this beaten and helpless man. And what does the priest do? You would expect a priest to give aid, but Jesus says, no, the priest just turned a blind eye and he kept walking. And after this priest came, Jesus says a Levite came. And a Levite passed that man. And you would think, here this Levite would stoop to help this man on the side of the road. But Jesus says, no, he just continued walking as well. Until a third man came. And it was a Samaritan. We won't get into all the biblical details of what a Samaritan is. But you need to know this morning that Samaritans and Jews did not interact. They did not have a friendly relationship. They weren't friends by any stretch of the imagination. And what happens? That Samaritan cares for the man who's beaten on the side of the road. He dresses his wounds. He carries him to an inn. He pays his fee so that he can spend the night, so that he can get better. And what does Jesus say? He looks that lawyer in the eyes and he says, now which of these men, the priest or the Levite or the Samaritan, showed himself to be a neighbor to this man? And of course, the answer is, well, it was the Samaritan. And part of what that parable is intended to teach us, and we need to hear it, it's not that complicated, it's a very simple story, but part of what that parable teaches us is that our neighbor is everyone. There's no restriction put on this word. Our neighbor is the dirty, rotten Samaritan. Our neighbor is anyone who stands in need. Our neighbor is anybody we may come into contact with. And so this morning, when you hear this and you read this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Brothers and sisters, there's no restriction on this. Paul doesn't say, oh, you just got to love your family members as yourself. He's not saying, oh, you just got to love your friends or your relatives or church members. He doesn't say, oh, you've got to love those who deserve your love, or you've got to love those and those alone who are lovable. But Paul is saying anyone at any time. Anyone and everyone is your neighbor. And Paul is saying that's the one to whom you owe a debt of love. You don't just owe it to the people who are easy to get along with. You don't just owe it to the people whose personalities you click with the most, the people that you like the most, but you owe it to all, unrestricted to any. Do you think about that day to day? Not only when you're with your family, but when you're at your job. When you're walking down the aisle of a grocery store, when you see a stranger on a street, here is my neighbor. Here is one that I am indebted to. Here is one that I am commanded and obligated to show love to. Do you think about that when you think about our community? 613 people in the city of Winchester, that every single one of us is obligated to love. That we owe a debt of love to. That's the debtee, our neighbor. Well, finally and briefly this morning, what is the degree of that love? What is the degree? How do we measure this love? I don't want these little words to escape your attention, but look with me at verse 9. Paul says, you shall love your neighbor as what? As yourself. I shall love my neighbor as myself. Don't overlook that. Don't let that get lost. Don't miss the significance of that. Every single person in this room, in one degree and in one capacity, love yourself very much. Think about the way in which you handle yourself and you deal with yourself. Think about the patience that you give to yourself. Think about the kindness that you give to yourself. Think about the leniency that you show to yourself. We all have an uncanny ability to put up with our own flaws, to put up with our own weaknesses, to put up with our own quirks, to put up with our own really unlovableness. You don't meet many people who say, well, I harbor a grudge in my heart against myself, or I'm really bitter and really angry with who? With myself. Because there's a principle in all of us in which we love ourselves. The Apostle Paul says that in Ephesians 5, 29. No one hates himself. And Paul is saying, here is the degree to which you are to love other people. The same way that you love yourself, the same way that you put up with yourself, the same patience you give yourself, the same kindness you give yourself, the same leniency you give yourself, the same way in which you overlook your faults and your weaknesses. Paul is saying there is what it means to love your neighbor, to give them the same degree of love that you give to yourself. The way that you love yourself, do that to your neighbor. That's what Paul is saying. And I know that seems like a lot this morning, but when it comes down to it, it is so simple, and it is so plain, and it is so evident. Owe no one anything. Be indebted to no one, but have this debt, the debt of love. And seek to love your neighbor according to the commands of God as you love yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And Paul is saying, as Christians, here is part of what it means to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Here's what you should be testing and discerning concerning the will of God. And when you begin to walk in this love, you see indeed it is good and pleasing and perfect in every way. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask now, Lord, that you would accomplish in our hearts the very thing that you command. You have shown us what you require. Now, Lord, may the power of your Spirit make us a people who are loving to our neighbors, to those around us. May we abound in this as we seek to show the world that we are your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.